TV.
Yes, today I'm wearing my famous I Can Fix Stupid, but it's going to hurt shirt. I Can Fix Stupid, but it's going to hurt shirt. Here it is, for those of you who are watching the show. Look at that. Thank you to the very astute and careful and knowledgeable subscriber who sent me the shirt. I appreciate it. Nice, nice one. I wear it with all the gravity that the message requires. Now, think of the title of this show, Why Satan Loves the Teaching of Eternal Torment. I mean, it's a ridiculous question because it's so obvious why he would love the doctrine of eternal torment. Now, just wrap your head around it. Satan loves, I'm going to drive to a point with this. Satan loves the doctrine of eternal torment. I'm Martin Zenner, by the way, you're at MZTV. Now, Satan, the prince of darkness, the devil, loves the doctrine of eternal torment. Why wouldn't he? Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to save the world, loses, doesn't get what he sets out to accomplish. Ding, ding, chalk up a big one for the prince of darkness. That's just for starters. Secondly, God, who is overseeing the operation of eternally tormenting most of his creation, comes across as a hideous monster. Worse than Hitler. Hitler never eternally tormented anyone. I mean, the whole thing is a satanic playground. Diminishes, demeans, destroys the cross. Turns God into a monster and forces Christians who, ironically, are the carriers. I'll get to that in a second. Forces them to make human beings responsible for the decision of their lifetimes. That is, choose Christ, turn or burn. Forces people, forces them. This doctrine, which they think is true, the Christians, they think it's true. They're convinced it's true. Forces them to make the responsibility for such a hideous fate. They must make it the responsibility of the human. So that forces them into free will in direct opposition to so many verses that speak of the sovereignty of God. That is, God who chooses, not man. It is not of man who is running or willing, but of God the merciful. God locks up, in fact, altogether in stubbornness, Romans 11:32. And on we could go. So Satan has scored a major victory. Now, here is the most bizarre thing, is that this doctrine of demons, which is completely wrong, we know that. I want to show you why it's wrong, but how God very cleverly sets traps in Scripture. That when you twist Scripture, this is why I'm so against twisting Scripture, so against it, even with members of the body of Christ trying to come up with cute new doctrines, twisting Scripture, don't like it, because the prime example is twisting Scripture, people come up with eternal torment. They twist it to come up with it, and that they think it is correct, and they camp around it. And having thus deceived themselves and armed themselves with what they think is the truth, they then, with great verve and energy, carry out the teaching of this sickness. But think about the irony. Those who claim to be God's best friends are the carriers. They are actually, oh my God, you talk about vessels of dishonor. Romans 9 talks about God being the potter, humanity being the clay, and out of one lump, he makes vessels of honor and dishonor. How would you like to be the carrier, the designated carrier of the sickest, most satanic, most evil teaching ever to come out of demonic minds? Because make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, 1 Timothy 4, 1, this is a doctrine of demons. Our apostle said in 1 Timothy 4, 1, the Spirit is saying explicitly that in subsequent eras, some will be withdrawing from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the teachings of demons. And these were the people who first twisted the scripture, translated it from Greek to Latin. One of the culprits was Jerome. Actually, he was the culprit who translated the scriptures from Greek to Latin. And that is what caused many of the mistranslations. The mistranslation of Ion into eternal. That was a killer. That was the killer. But this horrible message is being carried by the religion, Christianity, that claims to be Jesus' greatest friends. So in subsequent eras, some will be withdrawing from the faith. These are the people who first grasped onto it. This is why Paul says some and not most. This is why. Let's slow down a little bit. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit is saying explicitly that in subsequent eras, some will be withdrawing from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the teachings of demons. This was the seed plot of the doctrine of eternal torment. It started, I think, back in the 4th century, whenever the scriptures were translated from Greek to Latin. Let me look it up right now. Oh my God, there you go. The scriptures were primarily translated from Greek and Hebrew to Latin by Saint Jerome. How dare you, AI overview, call him a saint. Saint Jerome, give me a break. Between 382 and 405 AD, resulting in the Latin Vulgate. I'd rather call it the Latin Vulgar. But these were the early people who then, based on the mistranslation of Ion into eternal, changed the Greek word Ion into Aeternum, which is a Latin word, and that's where we get our word eternity, and it put a wrench into the beautiful spinning wheel of God's beautiful Aeonian plan to save the universe. God is the Savior of all humanity, 1 Timothy 4:10, the Savior of all humanity. In the fullness of times, all will come back to God because of the sacrifice of Christ. We know that eternal torment is a complete and total lie believed by sick puppies, very, very sick puppies. And God has set traps. I started to say this earlier. Let me finish my thought. God has set traps in the scriptures, mistranslated verses, parables that are mistaken for real, like the rich man and Lazarus. Parable, called a parable at the beginning of Luke chapter 15. Even though it's in chapter 16, the Lord is telling five parables. So we got parables thought of as real. We got mistranslation of Hades, Gehenna, and Tartarus into the word hell. Three different Greek words into one English word hell. And we have Ion and Ionias turned into Aeternum in Latin, which has been translated eternal, which we know that God's judgments are Aeonian. Death is Aeonian. Judgment is Aeonian. Separation from God is only Aeonian. Aeonian being a description, an adjective, describing periods of time, which are eons. Time, it all has to do with time. Boy, that wrecked everything. But these were the people, back to 1 Timothy 4:1, these were the people who, some who withdrew from the faith and gave heed to deceiving spirits. And it was the deceiving spirits. Remember? Heaven comes to earth. Heaven influences earth. Where is our adversary? Where is Satan? In heaven. But he influenced the mistranslation of the scriptures. But God was behind this. God did it on purpose. He set traps in the scripture to find out where the sick puppies are. The sick puppies. And the people who believe in eternal torment are sick puppies. They are very sick. They are very sad. They will regret it horribly someday. They will weep and gnash their teeth. And I would love to spare all of them that. I don't want anybody to go through that. My own son is set to go through that. My son who's in the Christian religion. He's primed to be one of those. I've done everything I could to try to explain to him. Gave him my own book, Martin Zender Goes to Hell. Gave him my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. Gave him every one of my books. Talked to him personally. Son, please, how can you go into this doctrine of demons? But back to Romans 9. Back to Romans. Okay, God set traps in the scripture. Purposely did it. To see who would love the truth and who would hate the truth. Not that he doesn't know. He knows, but to expose it to themselves. But yes, you're right. He decides ahead of time who's going to be a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor. Vessels of dishonor believe and propagate the doctrine of eternal torment. Those are vessels of dishonor. Imagine, we're called, we're designated beforehand to be sons of God, to be in the body of Christ, to herald the salvation of all, the truth, to herald the salvation of all. Hey, I can fix stupid, but it's going to hurt. Okay? We are here to herald the truth of the sovereignty of God and the salvation of all. And the two gospels, to keep distinct law from grace, justification from pardon and forgiveness, and celestial from terrestrial, all these amazing, wonderful things. Yet they have been designated beforehand and chosen to be Satan's mouthpieces. Oh my God, what a nightmare. They are Satan's mouthpieces. They are teaching Satan's favorite doctrine. And yet they claim to be the enemies of Satan. Oh, they're fighting Satan all the time. They're casting out the devil. What does James say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's James 4:7. Resist the devil. And Christians quote that all the time. But embrace the devil and he will pass through your mouths and through your hands the sickest teachings to ever come into the world. They are actually embracing the devil, even while saying, resist the devil, resist the devil. There has never been a group of people so deceived as those who think they're fighting the devil, resisting the devil, and yet they're the devil's dupes. They're the useful idiots of Satan himself, because they are propagating, they are spreading the most horrific teaching ever to come down from satanic conclaves, and that is eternal torment, the torture, the eternal torture of God's own children, because he couldn't influence them. The cross couldn't influence them. Listen, this is the teaching. The cross could not reach most of humanity. The cross cannot reach most of humanity. Wait a minute. Who was that on the cross? Wasn't that Jesus Christ? The one they laud, the one they sing about in all their ceremonies and all their worship services? Who are they singing about? Jesus, 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 Jesus. Wait a minute. Jesus was on the cross. Wasn't he the one on the cross? Yeah, that's him, same one. What was he doing there? Saving the world from sin. But they teach that it doesn't work, that it didn't work, that he failed. Yes, they actually teach that. It's amazing. Well, wait a minute. That's a doctrine of demons. Yes, it is. The doctrine of eternal torment has to be Satan's favorite teaching. It is. Why? Makes Christ a failure? Makes God a monster. Who are the mouthpieces? Who are spreading this? Those weirdos that the Christian church call the body of Christ, those weirdos teaching the salvation of all based on verses like Romans 5, 18 and 19, Colossians 1, 20, 1 Timothy 4, 10, 1 Corinthians 15, 22, 1 Timothy 2, 6, Romans 11, 32, Romans 11, 36, those people? Ephesians 1, 10, those people? They're calling us crazy, and yet they are denying the work of Christ on the cross, demolishing his sacrifice. The one they sing about. What an irony. They're singing about Jesus and destroying his accomplishment. They're cursing the devil and carrying out his work, his word, acting on his behest. Satan doesn't need to walk around on the earth poking people with pitchforks, stabbing people with his horny tail, his pointy tail, whatever the hell it is. He doesn't need to do that. All he needs to do is send down teachings. Insert them into Christian organizations in their formative years. The Council of Nicaea, for instance, where the Trinity came into being, that was satanic council, denies the death of Christ. If you think Christ is God, and you believe God can't die, then you cannot believe Christ died. You have to make up a fairy tale like his body died, which denies his death, which eliminates any possibility that you were chosen beforehand to be in the body of Christ. They are Satan's best allies, closest friends, and they are teaching his most beloved doctrine, the doctrine of demons, that when it came to earth, it had to delight that rotten mess of evil minions. It just had to tickle them to pieces that they would be disseminating this lie through the most polished, the most whitewashed organization that actually has the name of Christ on it, that is Christian. But is this a shock when we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan himself is disguised as a messenger of light and his ministers as dispensers of righteousness? Is it a surprise? It is not. But it is. No, it's not a surprise, but it's a constant shock to me. It shocks me anew every single day when I think of the irony, again, of those who sing the praises of Jesus and destroy his work on the cross, and who resist the devil and preach against the devil and hate the devil, and yet they are carrying out the devil's work, and in the process of doing so, turning off the entire world from God. Paul said concerning Israel in Romans, he said, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. How ironic is that? The people who claimed to be God's greatest friends, his greatest allies, the Israelites, they were the ones that were defaming his name. Today, that role has been overtaken by Christianity. Because of them, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. And when the truth comes out, when the truth becomes known, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, the likes of which you have never heard and I would never want to hear, but it is coming. But there will be restoration for these people, because Jesus Christ and God our Father is the Savior of all humanity, 1 Timothy 4:10, even Christians.